We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Brunson gets free. One-on-one with Castle. Wemby lurking. Brunson dribbles. Pulls up. Jump shot. Back of the rim won't go. Wemby the rebound. 12 seconds remaining. Stolen by Brunson. And knocked down by Wemby. Brunson will shoot free throws with 9.5 remaining. Oh, what a turnaround in that sequence.
Well, Wemby tried to outlet that pass. Castle never saw it coming. Hits him right in the back.
Great job by Brunson getting the shot he wants against Wemby. But this is the same thing. These are the passes we saw from Wemby in the first half. Not aggressive, not sure of himself. Huge turnover.
I also think they weren't totally clear on if they wanted a timeout or they wanted to push it.
Brunson misses. Fight for the rebound. Picked up. Ananobi lost it. Cornette has it. And a timeout called by San Antonio with 7.5 remaining. It's their final timeout. They'll advance the ball in the front court with a chance to win it.
Well, I get the timeout, but I tell you what, if they get that ball out of there, you might have some numbers because you had so many Knicks down on the baseline trying to come up with this basketball.
Oh, that was a kick. That was a kick by Cornette.
Fox and Vassell. Castle inbound. Fox gets it. Bridges on him. 4 seconds. Fox to Wembanyama. Pulls up. Jumper. Won't go. Rebound taken by Vassell. It's over. It's over. The Knicks survive. This magic carpet ride continues. 13 straight victories, and they lead 2-0 here in these NBA Finals.
From the heart of Queens to the ears of sports fans everywhere, this is the Sports Kings from Queens. Strap in, because the Kings are in session. It's Friday night, June 5th. This is episode 236. I'm Gino, joined by Kevin, joined by Darren. Guys, we just watched the Knicks go up 2-0 on the Spurs. They have now run the streak to 13 in a row. I mean, I don't like doing it, but this, they have something going on now. I mean, this is 13 in a row. 105-104 tonight. 2 nights ago, it was 105-95 in game one. They come back to New York Monday night, up 2-0. Brunson was excellent game one in the fourth quarter, wound up with 30. Tonight, Brunson wasn't great. Towns was great tonight. Bridges was great tonight. You know, if I told you through two games that Josh Hart was only going to have 3 points, you'd be disappointed, except I would leave out the fact that he had 21 rebounds and 10 assists in two games. You would change your mind. Guys, talk to me. Kev?
Wow. I mean, Gino, you said it. You thought game one was the key game. And when they were down 14 in the third quarter, you weren't sure about that. They made the run. Fourth quarter, Brunson took over. Wemby 6-for-21 game one. And then game two comes along, and over glossing over just from a high level. You know, the Knicks were the team up 14, 12, 12, 14 in the fourth
14
quarter
in
here.
The fourth. 14, 18 in the fourth.
14 in the fourth. The Spurs made the comeback, tied it up, and then Brunson got the foul call on the drive and hit one, which, as you know, this is gonna sound stupid. I was almost glad he hit one out of two, because if he makes two, chances are the Spurs are going to come down looking for the three, then get the easy two. I think the Knicks were defending a lot better up one instead of up two.
Maybe.
And, you know, they're fortunate when we miss a shot. And they get both wins down in San Antonio. They're up 2-0. I mean, as a Knicks fan, how can you not be thrilled?
What OG Anunoby does for this team when he's on the court is he changes the team's defensive makeup. I mean, Bridges did a great job again out on the perimeter, but OG gets blocks, he gets rebounds, he gets deflections. He's got that 7'1" wingspan. He's got the girth, yep. And his dunk against Wembanyama on the drive was about as smooth as you saw. You're like, he's gonna get blocked. He just dunked it on him. He just dunked it, and Wemby could do nothing because he used the entire rim to shield it. He does so many great things. When they went on that little run early, I was like, oh, keep that lead while OG's on the bench while they're giving him a little bit of a breather, because you figure the defense gets more intense when he gets out there. Ashley went a little bit opposite. All of a sudden, the Knicks go cold. And let's face it, Brunson, rough night shooting, 7-for-25. Had an open three after Bridges made a great steal. Missed it. Missed a couple of shots that he would normally make. Wemby certainly makes things a little bit harder, but you know, you didn't have him going tonight. Hart didn't play much because he was in foul trouble all night. Towns, after the three calls early in the third quarter, really seemed to kind of lose his momentum that he had built up in the first half. And, you know, we'll get to the officiating in a minute. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're watching Bridges hit and then Anunoby hit, and Shamet, who wasn't amazing tonight, but he still hits the big three when you need it. And the bench outscores San Antonio on the road for the second straight game. You know, you got to be impressed with the way they came out, G. Or Kev, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, you know, very, very subtly, a huge guy off the bench has been Alvarado. He's only played 20 minutes. But, you know, in game one, when Brunson was off with the injury, you know, you're not sure about the knee, everything else, they made a nice run with Alvarado in game one. And then game two tonight, after Brunson played the whole first quarter and they were down, he comes in and, you know, tonight, you know, especially the first 5 minutes of the first half, he had another couple minutes in the second half. 10 minutes tonight, they were plus 11 with Alvarado on the court. He brings a little bit more of a defensive presence than Brunson, obviously. Can still run the offense decently enough. I mean, what a pickup this was during the season. I mean, like I said, for a guy who's only played 20 minutes, I think he's had such a huge impact on the series. It's unbelievable that.
And even tonight, drawing the foul on the three late in the shot clock, just something simple as that. You know, he does a lot. Yeah. And again, he's not hitting. I actually thought we'd see a little bit more Clarkson tonight with McBride not playing so well in game one. But McBride was okay tonight. You know, listen, he had a big three, hit a big bucket, G. Yep. Did a lot. I mean, you know, this was again, a complete team performance where everybody balanced themselves all the way through on this one.
The Nick resilience to keep coming back every time they go down, you know, three or four baskets, they come back. And, you know, Brown is not afraid to put Shamet in. He's not afraid to put Alvarado in. He's not afraid to bring McBride in, Robinson, for periods of time to give these guys rest. And at the same time, it changes the look on the court. And at one point, I forget which of the announcers it was. It may have been Breen was like, you know, I'm not sure how without Brunson on the court and without Towns on the court, how they're going to bring the ball up, whatever. And it was then that they went on that 6-0 run and the lead went from 5-11. And it was because Alvarado was there and McBride hit that little jumper over Castle, where Castle was defending him. Like he was all over McBride. And McBride somehow put this looping jumper over him. And it's like, there you go. And that's how they ended the third quarter. And you didn't know if Brown was going to leave the same guys out on the floor to start the fourth, and he did. And right at the end of that third is where San Antonio had sat Wemby for a little bit, but was forced to kind of bring Wemby back out on the floor at the end of the third because the Knicks were going on a little run without everybody in there. So, yeah. You know, it went back and forth. The one thing that the Knicks had to deal with tonight was Hart was in foul trouble early. Hart took a couple of those fouls early. And then yeah. Towns went from three fouls to five fouls in like, you know.
One foul at halftime.
Yeah.
One foul at halftime. Because you can't freaking touch me. If you touch Wemby, it's a freaking foul. Kevin, it's unbelievable.
I mean, you know, he went from one to three, and then all of a sudden, in like a 2 minute stretch, it was like boom, boom, and he had five.
Yeah. But,
I mean, other than that, I mean, the way they're playing right now is it's just ridiculous. It really is. They're on a run, man. They are on a run.
And one thing I'll say is that watching Wemby as close as I have, and I haven't watched him this much ever, he really just wants to be a jump shooter. He only takes the lane when it's given, and he gets the foul call almost every time. I'm surprised he doesn't do it more often. But the shot at the end where he had a chance to win it. Now, at the end of the game, he misses the shot. He commits, gets the rebound, misses the foul. I mean, throws it away, commits the foul, and then he misses the shot to win it. But that was almost like a fadeaway. He fell afterwards. I don't know if he's trying to draw a foul or if he's just at 7'4" with the wingspan of,
a condor?
Yeah, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, a condor is a great way to put it. Bald eagle, whatever you want to call it. Salamander, whatever you want.
The pterodactyl.
Anything. But he's fading away because Mitch, who's a legit 5 inches shorter than him, is coming over. And you think he's going to take it to the hole and at least get the foul call, or he's going to sit there and go up strong. Instead, he takes the fadeaway. You know, and he already at a young age, usually a big guy will be a little more physical younger, and then they start like the Patrick Ewing and Akeem way, and then all of a sudden they start bringing themselves out a little further, David Robinson a little further. He's already out there. I don't know if he's ever going to go inside. It's a different game now, but, I mean, I don't know. As a young guy, I thought he would win.
Wemby needs 20 or 30 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
To be able to withstand some of this contact, because my goodness, he is such a, unless it's open going down the lane, he wants no part of the lane.
No,
he wants no part of being inside. And Mitch will be physical with him. Cat, you know, I realize Cat's giving up 6-7 inches to him.
Yeah,
but Cat will play against him. And if Wemby's not going to challenge Cat inside, that's going to help keep Cat out of foul trouble, because if Wemby's content to be outside, Cat at least has enough to at least bother him out there. And if he's not going to drive, he's not going to get as many fouls early on Cat as they necessarily need to get Cat in foul trouble, get him off the court.
So Cat has been so good.
Okay. Incredible.
Both sides of the ball, by the way. Never known as a defender, but both sides of the ball, he's been good. And the team leader and the vocal leader.
Cat has 39 points. He has 25 rebounds. He has 8 assists in 2 games. And like you said, Darren, his leadership game one, where you heard him on the bench clapping and telling everybody, just keep playing defense. Our defense is going to get us through right now until the offense clicks in. It was just amazing. Here's a couple of points, though, for me. I could tell game two here, they were on track from the beginning of the game. There was no rust to start the game offensively. Game one, I felt like that first quarter, they were really trying to get themselves back into their offense. Here, there was none of that. You could tell right off the bat. And come, like, I think it was as we hit, like, the second quarter, when Bridges hit that first three-pointer that he hit, Bridges was locked in. Like, he hit that first jumper, and it was like, okay, Bridges was – he was feeling it. You saw him get the ball for the second one, and he was just like, boom. He just, like, put it up. I'm like, okay, Bridges is locked. That's it. Start going to Bridges because he's locked. He knows he's locked in. And I think at that point, Brunson knew he was locked in because there was a play a little bit past that where Brunson saw him and automatically just was like passing the ball because he knew, and Bridges was like, boom. And you could just tell. So that is a great sign for me. When he knows that Bridges is locked in and Bridges knows he's locked in, that's a great sign. As far as Wemby goes, I think you guys are right on the button with him right now. Again, this is what, year two for him?
Yeah, he's a kid.
Yeah,
you know,
the Spurs are a year ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
they were not supposed to be here yet.
I will tell you, watching them play, Castle and Vassal and Champagny and Harper, like, I may hate this team for a while. I can tell.
One point I want to make, and just a criticism of the Spurs coaching, is that in the first quarter in both of these games, Harper and Champagne are coming out well. They don't get touches in the second half. And it's like, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, Mitch Johnson, I'm not sure what he's doing, because you've got these guys coming out and coming out strong. And I understand you got to get touches for Wemby. You got to get touches for Fox. They have a lot of talent on the team, and they got to get – and Castle, and everybody's got to get their touches. And Vassell, Long Island kid, by the way. They have a lot of touches that they want to get. But Champagne is hitting these open threes in the first half of game one. Remember, he was on fire.
Yeah.
Knighty came out, hit a couple. I know he's only finished 2 for 5 or 2 for 6, something like that. But I just felt like he didn't even get looks in the second half. But same thing with Harper.
But with Champagne, six field goal attempts.
Yeah.
How does he only get 6?
I don't know. He's out there enough. It doesn't make sense. And Harper, same thing. Harper scores points, but you feel like they stop going to him at a certain point.
Yeah.
He almost has to create his own because they're not giving him the ball. And it's almost like an embarrassment of riches on offense, because they want to make sure Wemby gets all these touches. And then Fox has to get his touches. And then Castle has to get his touches. While the Knicks tonight, 21, 20, 20, 17, those are the top four. And Shamet comes in for 13. Shamet played 30 minutes tonight, and McBride played 18. And you got 10 10 from Alvarado, and I think 14 or so from Mitch, somewhere 14. Around there. And it's like... Listen, they're getting the balance, but they know they're not going to Mitch, and, McBride's going to get his looping shots, because every shot he takes has an arc like he's trying to bring rain down. And I know he's not tall, but I don't know. I just feel like the Spurs forget about the guys that helped them get off to the big start, and they just start featuring Wemby. And I understand why, but you would think that they would be able to free those guys up for open threes, and they're just not doing it. And Wemby throwing some turnovers because, OG gets his hands up. Bridges made a couple of nice plays. In the defense of the Knicks in this series so far has been outstanding. Doesn't look that way when they start off the game, and the Spurs were red hot in the first quarter tonight, guys. And when the Knicks were within shouting distance, I felt pretty good about it.
It almost feels like the first quarter's like the Knicks are feeling the Spurs out. They allow them to get their points, and all of a sudden they figure out, all right, this is what we need to do with this game, and then they put the screws up to the Spurs in the second half, especially, and tightened up on the defense.
Well, I said that. I said that on the text chain in the first quarter tonight when they were in the Hackamich thing. They put up the stat that the Spurs were shooting 62%, and I'm like, okay, there's no way they're shooting 62% the whole game.
It's not against the game, they're not. No, you're right.
Wemby shot 6 for 21 game one and 11 for 21 game two. And, what you guys were saying, maybe the better thing is 5 or 6 of those shots need to go to Harper or Castle or Champagne. maybe that's where those shots need to go right now, because some of those, I mean, listen, I know he hits some of those threes, but anytime I see Wemby out there shooting from three, I'm like, let him shoot it. Let him shoot that three.
He's got great touch, but you know, you live with it.
He listen, if you go by the first two games, he's 2 for 9 and 2 for 6 from three. Let him shoot the three. No problem.
I'm sorry, Ken.
6 for 21 is one thing. Even tonight, 11 for 21, you can live with 11 for 21. I mean, that's 50%. That's just over 50% from a guy who's 7 foot 6.
Yeah.
You should be up near 66%, 67%, not 50%.
Well, because go ahead, Darren.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, he's taking, you know, about a third of those shots from three, a little less than that, but still, he's sitting there and he's playing perimeter ball. Listen, the alley-oop is impossible to stop because he's, you know, he doesn't even have to jump. He just picks his hand up and he dunks it, you know, and then when that happens, but it doesn't happen often enough. He's not rolling to the basket at all. He's kicking out for the three.
I mean, the few times he does drive and dunk, you let him because that's unstoppable. It's one dribble from three-point range, one dribble, bang, he's dunking it. You give him that.
And the other thing I got to say, I mean, listen, talk about the elephant in the room. The officiating tonight was suspect at best. The Knicks go up 14. The Spurs go on the run to tie it. The only thing that stems the tide is the Knicks have to challenge a blatant foul call on a three for Anunoby. Yeah. The Knicks had to challenge it.
Yeah.
And there's no way you watch a challenge that you don't see it hits his arm first. So you say they had to give the Knicks the three shots, and OG gets the three foul shots, and they go up three. But it's, you know, it seemed like, you know, and some bad shooting, and Brunson wasn't on and all that other stuff. But it seemed like there was a couple of touch fouls that went against Hart, a couple of touch fouls that went against Cat in particular. And you're like, really? I mean, this is what it's going to be? Because Brunson drives to the basket. He gets mugged coming up the court. And listen, I don't even think it's bad. They're allowing them to play hard defense off the dribble. I mean, but the Spurs are hacking the hell out of him. You had that moment where Brunson and Fox kind of had the stare down, and his father, Rick, running down there, starts yelling at Fox. A little interesting there. But I felt that the officiating tonight was – very subpar at best. If I'm being nice, I'm calling them subpar.
I mean, in both games, game one, where the Knicks won by 10, you're going to tell me the Knicks outscored the Spurs in the paint by about 12. I think it was like 36-24.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs take 5 more threes than the Knicks, so they're shooting from outside. And the Spurs go to the line 25-12 until the last minute.
No, you're right.
And tonight was another game where the foul shots were 27-21. That includes the three from OG that they had a challenge and 6 intentional for Mitch.
You're right.
Other than that, it's 25-12. It's 25-12. Or 27-12. I mean, these are two teams that are playing physical. They were equally physical. I'm not debating the Knicks calls. I understand both ways. You know, you're going to get the ticky-tack that you don't agree with, fine. But the majority of the calls on the Knicks, I do not have a problem with. But you got to call it both ways. You can't have this discrepancy with both teams are playing the same exact way. It's been ridiculous the first two games. Like I said, I'm not debating the Knicks calls.
Yeah,
Knicks have fouled.
Listen, one of the Towns calls, I thought was horrible. But
that happens. That happens.
I agree. Yeah. But you know, it's got to be a little bit more balanced. I mean,
hopefully going back to MSG, it'll bounce out a little bit.
I'm just saying Brunson deserves to get a little bit more respect than he gets compared to what Wemby gets, who's been in the league for a second year.
Brunson's first foul shots in game one came with a minute left.
Yeah.
They were down with 2 minutes to go in that game. They end the game on the 11-0 run to win that game by 10. But, you know, you know, and foul shooting helped him in that respect. But yeah,
Brunson had 5 foul shots tonight. He had 3 early because he got fouled, obviously, on the 3-pointer in the first, 3 minutes?
Yep.
And he never attempted a foul shot until 10 seconds left when he hit 1 of 2?
Yep.
Yeah.
How does Brunson not have foul shots the rest of the freaking game?
I know.
It's ridiculous.
Listen, when you look at the Knicks' foul shots tonight, right? Hack and Mitch is 6, right? Ananobi at 5, 1 on the foul that they challenged for a 3, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Brunson had 5, 3 of them on the foul, on the 3-point shot that he got fouled on. Alvarado at 3. Alvarado at 3 on a 3-point shot he blatantly got fouled on. The ones that they couldn't miss are the only ones that really looked at it. So when you go through the foul shooting for the team tonight, 9 and 6, 15 of the foul shots that they attempted tonight. Out of 21 were either 3-pointers that were blatant or they were hack-a-mitching.
Now, they got the rest of the way.
Fortunately, they did call the correct call on the foul with, 10 seconds left in the game when Wemby did foul Brunson, thankfully.
And again, with that, it was 9 seconds left. And with that, you know, again, when you win a game where Brunson doesn't have it, and he just didn't have it. I mean, Bridges, they get the 3 foul shots, and, you know, Santoni answers with a fail. And it looks like Santoni's going to try to take the lead again. Bridges makes a hell of a steal, drives, kicks it out to Brunson, who misses the wide open 3. In the fourth quarter, it just doesn't happen. And it wasn't like over Wemby. It was just he was there by himself and he missed it. So, you know, he was a little bit off. And, you know, just one of those things where he just, you know, he just didn't have the game tonight. 7 for 25 is not the typical Jalen Brunson stat, 2 for 8 from 3. But even with that, the Knicks find a way. He had 5 steals, Jalen, tonight.
Darren, you say that. We always say, you know, the best Nick wins usually come when you get 5 guys in double digits. Well, Towns had 21 and Bridges had 20. Brunson had 20 and Ananobi had 17. It wasn't Hart tonight, but Shamet had 13.
So you
still got 5 guys in double digits.
13 in both games.
Shamet. I mean, game one, Shamet had 13. Brunson had 30. Towns 18 and Ananobi 17. Bridges had 9. He didn't have 10. He had 9. But again, scoring spread out amongst everybody. Everybody's involved. And in that game, we know game one, Hart had 15 freaking rebounds. Yeah. I mean, he was all over the
team. He just only played 18 minutes tonight. I mean, I pointed it out. I was like, he just doesn't have that. Kev's like, hey, he played 10 minutes. And, you know, he ended up with – in 18 minutes, he had 6 rebounds. I mean, or something like
because,
that.
Because Hart touches his spur and there's a foul.
Yeah, no, they – I mean, listen, he tripped the guy on the turnover. You know, obvious. You got to call that, you know. You got to call it. You can't trip the guy. He's running away for a breakaway layup. You can't do it. So that one deserved to be called. A few of the others were really ticky-tack, though. But overall, listen – we celebrate the wins here. We don't worry about the refs. And when
Knicks are up 2-0.
They won two on the road.
I assume after the first 2 games, I'm not going to get the Knicks plus money line anymore like I did the first 2 games here. I'm just actually looking at it now. Game 3 Monday night, Knicks -2.5. -110, and then the money line is -135. So I'm not going to get plus on the money line anymore, Kev. I did take advantage of it first 2 games, but I'm not going to get it game 3.
And how about the crowd tonight? The Knick crowd was vocal and loud. I mean, Spurs fans had a few moments, but there was a very loud contingent from the Knick crowd because it's cheaper to fly to San Antonio, buy your tickets, stay in a hotel, have a couple of nice dinners, fly back. Then the because the tickets are soaring now. You think they were expensive before the series started? Now try to get tickets to game 3 or 4. And the thing about it is, guys, we haven't had a championship in this town in a long time. and the Knicks haven't had a championship that we've ever seen. We were all alive, but none of us saw it.
Knicks.
I was four.
Me and Gino were one. Well, Gino might have been two. I was still one. We were real close.
Knicks to win the series are now -500. Okay. Knicks to win in four is +155. Knicks to win in five is +450. And Knicks to win in six is now +330. So you still can get, if you think it's going to go more than four, you can still get plus on the money line. But the odds makers now in Vegas are saying they think it's going to be a short series based on the money line. So,
listen, Gino, before we came on, pointed out that it's only happened twice where a team has come from behind 2-0. Never happened when the team lost their first two home games. It's never happened. So there is something to watch. So
I did a little bit more research. So actually, it's happened. It's happened six times in the last 36 years.
But never happened once when you lose the first two at home. So
That's the key. Important one.
Now, all of a sudden, right now, you can't call anything a must-win for the Knicks because they're up 2-0. But you get game three and the series is done.
Yep.
They're a young team. Their best player with experience is Fox, who has not had playoff experience. So the experience goes to the Knicks, who have slowly gravitated up to this level over a couple of years of disappointing playoff exits after good starts in the playoffs. Now their experience kind of stands out. Now Brunson leaving the money on the table to make sure they can get Anunoby and Cat in here stands out. Now all of us criticizing why they're trading Randall for Cat. Who cares? What's the big difference? Stands out. They knew what they were doing. They've made their move.
Bridges
being gone doesn't matter. Bridges being horrible regular season player doesn't matter because they're all playing their role right now and they're playing it as well as you can, Gino.
For five draft picks.
For five draft picks. If they win one title for five draft picks, nobody cares. Because again, like we've said throughout the playoffs, this is the only team that is truly New York's team in the professional ranks. It's the only one that your team, New York team, is playing, and part of the city is not rooting against them. It's the only one. The Rangers are playing. You guys are rooting against them.
Oh, hell
the
yeah.
The Mets are playing. Me and Gino may not root against them, but we really don't care, and we enjoy the torment of the Met fan. The Yankees are playing. Kevin's blatantly rooting against us. The Giants are playing. Me and Kevin, tired of seeing them. Unless they play the Patriots or the Bills, we're not going to root for them. The Jets are playing. The Giant fans don't want the little brother to ever win anything. This is the only team that it matters. This is the only team where everybody in the city is galvanized, and it means something. Yep. It just means something.
Monday night at the Garden is going to be insanity.
Oh, it's going to be electric.
And you throw Trump in there. My goodness. What a freaking circus it's going to be Monday night.
Oh, God. The fans, it's going to take them 4 hours to get in.
I'm glad I'm watching this game from home.
It is going to be insanity.
Or at a local establishment, whatever it is.
Kevin's watching the game from Canada, and he does not have to be anywhere close to this. Yes. I'm watching it. I'm gonna try to go out as far as Montauk if I can to get away. And Gino's going to go down to Atlantic City. We're going to keep our distance from the Garden because it's going to be mayhem.
It's going to be insanity Monday night. 13-game win streak. We're going to see if that continues. The last time they lost was the NFL draft, Kev.
You just can't give this team a feeling of winning. You can't let them get one. You can't let them get game three.
Yeah.
You can't let them back in the series. Now you have to sit there with the emotion of your crowd and knock this team out.
The Jets and Giants have not made a selection when they lost.
The Jets have drafted, and the Giants have drafted their players, and they have already signed them. And the Knicks haven't lost. Sorry, well,
OTAs have gone on. We've had OTAs.
Oh, God. Judge is on the IL. A lot of things happening all over the place. Soto's been on the IL and back. I mean,
Here's one thing that hasn't changed since Knicks have started winning. The Mets have still sucked.
They won tonight.
The only constant, the Mets suck.
Be that as it may. Any final thoughts on this series before we wrap it up, gentlemen?
No.
Gee?
I don't want to get overconfident, but I'm not sure it's leaving New York now.
Well, I'm hoping your mouth to God's ears, kid. The other thing is, again, don't let this team feel like they're in the series at all. You got to just take game three. Come out with that emotion. Let the garden carry you through and take game three.
The way this team is playing, I don't think they will, and I think that's the key.
And if the foul calls ever even out, the Knicks should roll. You feel like we just saw Brunson's worst game, and they won.
Yeah.
They won by a point.
One, he came alive in the fourth quarter. He's played seven quarters.
Yeah, not Brunson-like quarters.
He's had one Brunson quarter.
Well, let's be honest. That Spurs perimeter defense is excellent. And it's easy to be excellent defensively when you have a guy that's 7'5" back there that's going to erase anytime you drive by it. You have to pull up and arc your shot. It becomes a little bit different. But, yeah, I agree with you.
It's easy when you can physically assault Brunson, but you touch Wemby and there's a foul or technical on Mitch during the dead ball.
Yeah, that was horrible. The technical on Mitch was horrible, by the way. As bad a call as you can have.
I mean, Brunson's looking at the referee. During the dead ball, the Spurs are like tugging on Brunson's jersey, everything else. Brunson's looking at the referees. They'll call. Mitch touches Wemby. Oh, there's a T.
I mean, there was a lot of that tonight.
Yeah.
So, you guys ready for me to wrap this thing up?
Yep. Go Knicks, baby.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren, Gino, Kevin, Wild, Wacky World of Sports, where a New York team is two games away from the title. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be Apple Products, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you can find. We post a lot on social. Like, follow the damn rules. Enough of the crap. I don't have to explain it to you every week. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.